The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up on Life Today, podcaster Cynthia Yanoff reminds us that even though life is messy, God is good.
I kind of decided like the God things were the things that went on script. And everything else, the mess, that I wasn't anticipating that, I didn't sign up for that, those things are not from God. And I think especially in a culture that wants to define mess as a certain things, I think the Lord's saying, no, like I decide what success and failure is. I decide what's a mess and what's not. Like your step is obedience.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. This is Tammy Trent. Her life is a mess.
I did not know you were going to start out like that.
Okay. So the book, our guest today is Cynthia Yanoff, and she has a book called Life is Messy, God is Good. She also hosts the Mesmerized podcast, which I love that. So thus the mess joke setup,
okay.
Right? But Cynthia, welcome to
the
program.
Thanks for having me. It's good to see y'all.
Yeah. You don't look like a mess today.
No, I do. And I think we should talk about it straight up front.
Should we talk about it?
There's a situation on my nose that we're going to talk about real fast.
Oh, okay.
Let's just leave it at Mom was right. Like when you were in eighth grade and she said, listen, if you lay out with tinfoil and Crisco and do all the things to get your beautiful tan, one day it will come back.
Oh,
and
no.
Today's the day of reckoning, friends. And so here we are with a little post-op, a little spot. And Tammy being so gracious and thoughtful and kind was like, I'll get a Band-Aid and slap one on.
I'm going to be, so you don't feel all alone. You are not alone in this battle. I'm right there
life
with you.
Life is messy, and so are our faces.
Life is definitely.
That's awesome.
I didn't want you to feel all alone in that.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so happy you're here. You're so hilarious. We were just at a women's conference together. I absolutely loved you. Didn't even know you, Cynthia. And then found out that we got to do this show with you, and then your book was sent to me, and I dove right in. Oh. And I want to tell you, right out of the box, chapter one had me out of the box, and I want to talk to you about that. Because you talk about the anointing oil. Is that the one where we're talking about April, your friend April?
Yes,
it is so, so good. So I'm just going to jump right in there, and I'm going to let you tell the story because I think it's such a good one about the anointing, and it's how I want to live my life, the way you describe everything that happened for April.
Oh, thank you for that. And I think it's one of those things as a girl who grew up in church and having this long history of knowing what God wants for us, there was some disconnect in my life. Like, where's my theology going to meet with my reality? Like, how does what I believe, what I read, what I hear on Sunday, how does that line up with Tuesday? And I just remember like kind of listening and learning about anointing. And I was like, okay, anointing, Old Testament. I'm thinking like, a prophet, a priest, a king. And then I was like, wouldn't it be easier if we just knew, like if the Lord was just like, hey, I'm going to anoint you to be a whatever. I'm anointing you today to do this or that. And so that's how it all kind of started. I was going down this rabbit trail. I'm like, what does this look like in my life? And so fast forward, just a couple of years ago, a friend of mine was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and she's fine now. But she asked me to come to Houston. They were doing a big surgery. And so I did, and I was going to Houston, and when I got there, they said something. Her husband, he's like, our church wants to anoint you with oil. A different anointing, right? But when you would anoint people in the Bible with oil, they're sick people. And so she was like, what do you think? And I'm like, girl, you got a brain tumor. Like, don't turn down people wanting to pray over you. So let's just go with it, right?
Yes, yes.
So she did that. People came over, they prayed over, and I thought it'd be like three dabs of oil and we're done kind of thing. Well, they really, like, really anointed her with oil. And so later that night, she went to take a shower. And you know how cooking oil is? It's like sticky on your hands, right?
Yes.
And so she took a shower and it ended up on the bottom of the shower, I guess, on her feet. So she was walking around her house that night. And everywhere she stepped, she left a footprint. And so I was kind of joking. I was like, girl, don't rob a bank. Like, you're easy to track right now. But I think about this whole idea of anointing, and isn't that what it should look like?
Yes.
If we're living the anointing God has for us, we're leaving footprints everywhere we go.
Yes.
When we go and we do the things God's calling us to do, the hard things, the messy things, very often, we start leaving footprints, and things look different when we've been there. People know that we've been there by virtue of the fact God has been there. It's just been a challenge to me, just that visual of, listen, I want people to be like, listen, God has been there, Cynthia has been there, and it looks different on the other side of that anointing.
I loved it. I literally could picture myself walking around with anointing oil all over my feet, but I was like, you learned something from that time, which you taught me something. And I think your whole book is set up like that. You take us through so many reflections, so many stories, but you bring us back to the Word of God. And I kept learning something for every chapter. So many, and the way you talk, it makes me laugh through these pages. I'm laughing in my study, but you pour into our lives, and I'm so grateful for that. You talk about so much of our messes and how can you tie God's goodness into the messes of our lives?
Yeah, I think it's hard because we've got to realize, like, if, again, as a girl who grew up in church, I kind of decided, like, the God things were the things that went on script. The things that are like, this is how it's supposed to be. It needs to look this way. It's curated. Those are the God things. And everything else, the mess, that I wasn't anticipating that, I didn't sign up for that, those things are not from God. Well, 2/3 of my life are the things that are uncurated that don't look like they were supposed to look, right? And so that's where I started realizing, like, we've got to find God in the middle of the mess, that He's got to be there. He's got to be present in that. And so I always kind of go back to this example. When we were doing foster care, our family was called into foster care, and we can talk more about that, but it's one of those things that I wasn't really on board. Like, I felt like the Lord was saying, like, y'all need to embark on this little journey. I'm like, ooh, like, that's for people that are a little more spiritual, I think, than us, or people that, like, I don't know, missionaries or homeschool or handbell choir, like people that do things a little differently than the Yanoff family. And so the Lord kept kind of pursuing that for us. And so we got involved in foster care. And the thing about it, like walking through that hard place, this is what I learned about anointing, but also just the messy, is that I went into foster care scared. I was scared of what it was going to do to our family. I mean, on every level, what would that look like financially, spiritually, emotionally, on every level with our biological kids? I went into foster care scared. Mm-hmm. And I came out scared of who we'd be if we hadn't done it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Lord changes you. He changes your life when you step into stories that you've been trying to avoid and you go to parts of town that you've not been in before. You as a family gather around a crib of a baby you barely know and literally cry tears asking the Lord to do something mighty for that child. Like, you're different on the other side of doing the things God has for you. And I think that's what's so important. It's for me, I just always wanted things to look a certain way. And if it wasn't messy, then maybe that was from God and I'm getting it right. And I realized, like, listen, yes, in foster care, we ended up adopting, spoiler alert, we adopted a little one. That's why I have a college kid, a high school kid, and a first grader, everyone. So brace yourself for that. But on the other side of that, yes, did we get an amazing little boy? Yes. But we got God, like a version of God I didn't know before. And so I just always want to encourage people, like, lean into that. And with us, one other thing I would say was, it wasn't like when the Lord started calling us to foster care that we were like, oh yeah, we're all in. Like, it was a reluctant yes. Like, maybe a yes, Lord. And the Lord will take a reluctant yes. And in the midst of that hard and that messy and that I'm not sure about this, He shows up. And I'm just so grateful for that.
You know, just the idea of footprints. My wife, it's not pretty if I leave footprints in our house, right?
Okay, yeah.
But when we step out into other people's lives, it can be messy at times, but like you say, that is also, it's leaving a mark that when it's an obedience to God, it's a good thing. The fear that we have, especially as Christians, we don't want to make mistakes because we're not supposed to make mistakes, and people will notice when we make mistakes and call us hypocrites. I think that holds us back a lot. What do you think God sees when we step out and make a mess at times when it's in obedience?
Yeah. I almost wonder if He thinks it's a mess. Like, who's defining, who defines what the mess is, right?
That's right.
I think there's so many places where, especially like, look in scripture, I look at the places where God says, like, I'm going to make you a father of many nations to a man who they're infertile. Like, to me, that's real messy. And God's like, that wasn't a mess. What? Like, I had a plan there. You know, I think about Noah, who's building an ark when he doesn't know rain. And, you know, I can't imagine what his wife's doing in this situation. And Noah's like, this is a mess. His wife is surely like, this is a mess. And God's like, this is a mess. And so I think there's this whole reckoning of what is the mess and who gets to decide that. And I think especially in a culture that wants to define messes as certain things, I think the Lord's saying, no, like, I decide what success and failure is. I decide what's a mess and what's not. Like, your step is obedience. And so that's kind of been, for me, it's just like, what's the next obedient step? And then let the Lord sort out the rest.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's true.
You know, there's something else that stuck with me as I was reading your book. You talk about long memory. You've said that a number of times that I've heard you say, and it resonated with me because I think even in some of the things that I've gone through, the messy seasons in my life, and then I'm asking God to get me out of this, and I've had to learn about obedience. to go back to the originator of that mess, Tammy, that you created, to surrender, to obey. But you talk about long memory, and when I think about all of that, it's like I can be so stuck on that or that mess or that thing I've created or the thing someone else has created in my own life. You remind us to go back and remember all the goodness of God, because we'll spend so much time in this that we kind of forget how good God is even in our messes.
Yeah. You know, I think one particular time when that really resonated with me is I was waiting on God to kind of answer a question. I mean, legitimately had something I needed God to show up for, and I just felt like He was silent. Like, you've been there where He's quiet. And you're like, yes. What in the world? Like, I believed my entire life, and now I feel like you're ghosting me, God. Like, where are you?
Yeah.
And so I remember going for a walk in my neighborhood, and I ended up kind of by this creek with a bridge. And I was standing on the bridge, and I started tearing up, which was weird in and of itself. I don't like to cry, surely not on a bridge in the middle of my neighborhood. But I was tearing up, and I felt like the Lord just kind of planted on my spirit, like, go down by that creek. And so I did, and I was like, this is getting weird. But as I was down there, I saw all the rocks, and I started thinking about the Israelites crossing over, right, over dry ground. And on the other side, what they do, they got 12 rocks and they made a makeshift altar. And I felt like the Lord was saying, you need to stack some stones. And so I just started pulling little rocks in this creek bed. I got one for another healthy kid, another one for another healthy kid. I got another one for my husband, got a job we really needed. Mm-hmm. Another rock for when my husband nearly died from encephalitis, but the Lord healed him. And I started stacking these stones there. And it wasn't stones that kept me from the hardship. It wasn't like, oh, thank goodness nothing hard happened.
Yes.
It was stones that despite that, God was good. And I just had this sense of that the Lord was saying, like, listen, I'm not always a remove the hardship kind of God, but I am a remember who I am kind of God. Amen. And if He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then if He's been faithful in the past, He will be faithful again. Mm. Will it look like we want it to always? No. Will it happen in our time frame? Surely not. But He does. He doesn't remove the hardship, but He does remind us that a long memory of His goodness goes a long way. I think Max Lucado says that, like, always having a long memory of God is the best way to show gratefulness and to trust Him in the really hard, messy places. And so that was kind of my moment of, like, building a little altar and have those stones stacked. And I now, even in my own life, I like to have stones on my desk and I write dates on them. I also have little, like, reminders on my calendar. Those are kind of my stones of remembrance too, that they remind me every year. I have a curly headed little boy that runs around my house that's 8 years old that is like my greatest stone of remembrance from adopting him and just seeing how the Lord's like, I was faithful. I did something great here. Like, you can trust me.
Yes, where God's faithfulness marked your life.
Yeah.
love it.
I think that's where most people that find themselves, you know, discouraged, disillusioned, whatever negative emotion you want to tag onto it. I think so many times the core issue is they don't feel or believe that God is good. Mm-hmm. Were there times when you struggled? I mean, you know, you mentioned your husband nearly died. Were there times where you were going, is God a good God? Or has that always been an easy go-to for you?
That's a great question. I don't think I have the deepest questions about God's goodness, and I'm thankful for that. I have moments where I'm like, like all of us. I mean, you sit and watch 9/11 or any of these things we've seen, and you're like, God, if you're good, like, show up, right?
Right.
Like, where are you in that? I don't know that I've struggled with that as much, but I do know that when I question His timing or His decision-making is where I struggle a little bit. I'm like, Lord, like, you can heal this side of heaven. Like, why wouldn't you? Like, everyone's praying. I'm in a situation right now in my life where we're all praying over an 8th grade little boy that has cancer that probably is not going to make it. I'm like, listen, there is an entire school of kids that you could impact. Like, make the difference. Do the thing, Lord. Right. And I question that sometimes, of course. I think all of us do. I go back to remembering. I kind of go back to the Job, and I love the part of Job where Job comes back and says, what my ears had heard, now my eyes have seen. And I'm reminded, like, so much of what my ears have heard, only did my eyes see it when I went through suffering and I saw God on the other side and I saw His goodness and His faithfulness. And that's how I want to live. Like, I don't want it to be, I don't mean to be Pollyanna about it, but at the end of the day, I want to be able to walk away from the heart and say, listen, I'd only heard of Your goodness till now, and now I've experienced it and I lived it and I'm different on the other side of it.
No, I think we have to be that firm in God's goodness.
Yeah.
Because it's an anchor. Mm-hmm. Out of that anchor, we are able to weather many, many storms. And, you know, in Job, you don't get the answer to all the questions.
Yeah.
Right. You don't get the answer to why and or why not now and the timing and all that, you know. You get God's presence.
Right.
Have you experienced God's presence in those moments?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, right? I mean, I think that's the only reason we're all still standing. Thankfully, you know, you on the other side of it, you can be like, okay, God, you were there. And in his presence, you expect it a lot of times to feel a certain way. It feels like you know, it's right. It's going to show up in this way, in healing, in answered prayer. It shows up through people. I think of Tammy's story, but it shows up through people at just in the right moment. It shows, I mean, there's so many different ways that God's presence.
Scripture.
And his goodness shows up. Reading his word, people around you that just in the right moment have the right thing. There's so many different ways that it shows up.
Yeah, nature, your stones in the creek.
Right.
You know, I think we have to willingly ignore his presence in many ways to deny it. I'm not going to get it all. But if I can say, but God, I know you were there every step of the way, that anchors that goodness and it enables me to walk through a lot of messes, even ones I create myself sometimes.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you admit that you have some, too.
Some messes. Well, yeah, and if I can add one thing onto that also, I love it when Jesus tells the story about the two houses that are built, one on sand, one on rock, right? And from what we can tell, identical houses, people building them have the same intention. They need a place to call home, some shelter, right? But the storms come and the storm reveals the foundation.
Yes.
Right? And I think that's what's so critical in it. Like, we've got to be about our foundation.
Yes.
My husband and I, you know, we live in Texas, and so we get to redo our foundation,
right.
You know, once in a while. And it's like you know, three Disney trips worth of money in order to do that. But at the end of the day, we can have, like, you know, pretty hardwood floors and nice window treatments. We can have all those things. But if our foundation isn't solid, like, what do we have? And I think that's what's so critical is we've got to be in the business of doing the foundational things, spending time in Scripture, surrounding ourselves by people that are pointing us back to the Lord, doing these foundational things that nobody's going to come by and be like, attaboy, or no one's going to be like, great job, Cynthia, right?
Yes.
What happens, though, is we want to put in the new windows and the new paint on the walls. When our foundation is not solid, guess what? It cracks.
Yes.
It falls apart.
It does.
I mean, literally, right? But spiritually, too. And I think a lot of times we work on the curtains and the cosmetics, and it cracks every single time.
It
but
does.
You're so right.
So just reminders to myself that those foundational things matter, especially when the storms are going to come, when the mess gets hard, when life it's not going as planned, like, the foundation matters. And so now's the time to work on those foundational things. Mm-hmm. Scripture's loaded with it.
Yeah.
What are the things we do now to prepare for tomorrow?
Yeah.
I was going to say that. Work on the now before the storm comes.
Yeah.
Build your foundation. I love it, too.
And Tammy, you know something else that's foundational is this idea of remembering the poor. And Scripture tells us to take care of the widows and the orphans. Don't forget the poor. Mm. This is foundational. And you know what? If you're in a situation where you're like, man, I am in a rough spot. Maybe spiritually you're feeling empty, poor, right? Mm. We do want to reach out to you. We have a telephone number. You can go right now. And someone will be there on the other end of that line to pray with you and to encourage you. So we always want to let you know we are here for you. And God, his presence, it's with you right now, whether you realize it or not. But he wants to use other people to encourage you and to draw you closer to him. Mm-hmm. Another way in remembering the poor, those in need, and really to express God's presence in someone's life is to reach out to those who are in desperate need. Mm-hmm. And they need to see something. They need to see the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yes.
You can be that. Watch this and you'll see how.
Right now, people around the world are suffering the effects of a deadly poison. And there's little they can do to avoid it. The deadly poison of unsafe water takes a toll on every victim it touches. In the most tragic cases, The poison takes that which cannot be given back.
As I'm here with this little child, as precious as he is, he's probably between 2 and 3 years old, maybe 4. But you know, he may not make it past 5, 4 or 5, if he doesn't have the water that he needs. He has water, but it's contaminated. And so many more children like him all around the world, they need our help. Children like this, we want to see them grow up and have a chance in life. Let God touch your heart, and let's help these precious children.
You know, it's been about 25 years now that we have been reaching around the world through the Water for Life program. And I thank God for the foundation that my parents have laid here at Life Outreach International. But it's only been possible because of viewers just like you, responding to the need like you just saw, out of compassion and love, and supporting this outreach. And Tammy, you know, you've been to these places. It breaks my heart to see a mother losing a child, or a sibling, you know, the children losing siblings, and then wondering, am I next?
I know, exactly. I can't imagine that kind of weight that you would carry, Randy. And you know, the thing that got me watching that piece too was that their children were dying, siblings were dying, even parents are dying from drinking this water, and that the doctor said, the source of your problem is the water. Mm. For me, if I knew the source of my problem today that was causing me harm or maybe bringing death to my body, I would know how to fix it. I would have a solution. I would have a way. But these people do not have any other option. So just as I watched that piece and the doctor saying the water, it's the problem. And then the next moment you see the little baby drinking the water and you want to say, why then? Why are they drinking the water? And the problem is it's their only option. So if they drink it, it brings death. But if they don't drink it, it also brings death. What kind of solution is that, Randy? There's no real solution unless God sets up appointments for His people like us to go in there and do something about it, if we have the ability. And I feel like that's what we've been given this opportunity today, to change it for these people.
We can. And I think that's the core question is, since you can do something about it, right? Mm. Will you? And let me tell you, those people over there, they do everything they can to get clean water. But it takes a rig rolling into a village and drilling deep enough to get to the uncontaminated water and then building that pump, that well, that will last for, on average, 70 years. And that's why we are able to come to you. We've got the people in place. We've got the equipment in place. It's just a matter of moving it and keeping it going. It breaks down to basically $4,800 for an average well. I mean, different places they travel, different depths they have to drill, but on average through the program, $4,800. Some of you could just give a well like that. And I think that's the question today is, will you do what you can? Now, I know all of you can't do that, but $144 right now will basically provide water for life, about 70 years, for 30 people, given the average number of people that come to these wells when they go into a village. It becomes a real focal point. A gift of $48 will provide clean water for 10 people. So will you do whatever you can, whatever God puts on your heart, to reach into places just like you just saw and say, you know what, I'm going to do something, and I'm going to do it out of love. And for us, it's the love of Christ that motivates us, but a lot of people do help us. So whatever you see in the need there, be the solution.
Yeah.
Be the hands and feet of Jesus. And Tammy, you know, this will change their lives.
Totally.
Forever.
We've seen it. We know it works. So go online, make that call today, and let's make a difference in the lives of these people right now for the rest of their lives. Let's bring them water for life. Yeah.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of five. Through Mission Water for Life, now in its 25th year, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for five children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you the God's Word for My Day devotional set. These four seasonal devotionals each contain a daily reading, an encouraging verse, and a thought to ponder for each day of the year. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the His Word is Life tumbler set. These two 20-ounce stainless steel tumblers, each inscribed with a scripture, will inspire you throughout the day and help keep your drinks well insulated while at home or on the go. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our beautiful bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
We can do this with your support. The amount that you help is the amount that we will turn around and help others. So please go online, go to the phone. Make the best gift you can. I've just been blessed by this, Tammy. How about you?
I've loved it. You're my favorite in all the land. I'm telling you, we are soul sisters now. Yeah. I absolutely love you. I'm going to wear this all the way home to Nashville tonight.
I'm going to hold you to that. I'm holding you to that.
Well, I love being here with y'all. Y'all are so much fun.
And you're a gift.
I love that I get to meet you. I get to see you twice in a month.
I know. I love it. You are a gift. This book is a gift. And if you are struggling right now with feeling like you're in the middle of a mess and you just sort of wonder, where is God? I want to stand with you right now. We want to stand with you and remind you that God is in the middle of this with you right now. There's not one thing He's overlooked. He's walking this out. He's breathing in your direction. Be in the now. Have the long-term memory. Know that God has never failed you. Even if life has, He never has, and He's going to be there for you and see you through to the very end. We love you. We appreciate you, and we're praying for you. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
I did not want to die. I just didn't know how to keep going. And I was in so much pain.
Right.
Iraq veteran Ben Peterson, tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.